Svea, do something intelligent.
So no guess as to who that was?
I couldn't even hear, really understand what anybody was saying.
What good are you? You're getting too old. Your ears are going bad.
I was rocking to the sick beats.
For the listeners, this is going to be redundant. But when you do a podcast, you got to uncomfortably eat your microphone. You have to talk really close. Give us a try, Dan Mullen.
Oops, sorry.
You can actually move it around.
Okay,
like, look at, see, you can do this.
Right,
if you
right.
want to go over here,
I
if you want to go.
I adjusted a little bit earlier.
There you go. Oh, perfect. What you just did there was perfect.
Okay.
So that was Pogo. He's, I think he's from Australia, and he takes Disney movies and he just mixes them with that music. It's very calming. I actually like to listen to it. And I contacted him. I was like, hey, I like your music. How do I get you, or how do I use your stuff on my show? And he's just like, oh, I use it, whatever. That was a terrible Australian accent. He was like, Use it, whatever.
Crikey.
Use it. I think we learned that. Remember that episode where I tried to do like a Borat accent and I just fell flat on my face? It was horrible.
No, I've heard you do okay. Like, I've heard you do good voices, though.
Oh, really?
You're actually pretty good at it.
I am a man of a million voices. I'm a, what are they called?
Ventriloquist?
No. That's a guy who can throw his voice. If I can't think of words, how can I ever do jokes? I'm just not funny because I'm not quick. I can't think of the words.
It's all in the edit.
Yeah, that's right. So I'll edit that out. Ready?
Dude, you should take paracetam. Try it.
Paracetam. How do I get
it's
my hands
disgusting.
On it?
Well, I got it through Dave Asprey's website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that was a long time ago, and I got it from some. I can email you the web address.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that it's not. It's not illegal.
Well, there you go.
But it's not totally legal. I mean, it's not illegal.
Right.
It's just that every once in a while, I think the government will crack down. Like, there will be a lab that will make it. Mm-hmm. And the government will just be like, don't do that.
Hmm.
It's a little bit weird. The drug is actually, I mean, it's not illegal. Like, it's perfectly fine to buy it. It's just the government kind of frowns on it.
So
hard to explain. It's not like a class 2 substance. This guy, Dan's looking at me like, you are such a...
It's like, I grow these trees with this ultraviolet light in my attic. No.
Grow lights and all that. Yeah. All right.
Paracetam.
I actually have some. I'll just bring some next time. It's disgusting.
Really? And it focuses you in?
Well, you take it... You have to actually take it for a while, and then mm-hmm. you'll notice maybe after... I think it kind of takes maybe up to a week, possibly 30 days.
Okay.
Before you start to notice your verbal I.O. is spot on.
What's I.O.? Your interface?
Input-output.
Okay.
I think I get that from Dave Asprey, actually.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't take it that much, though, because you don't want to take any kind of drug again and again every day, in my opinion, just because you never know how it's actually affecting your body.
Yeah.
It could be really unhealthy.
What would it be prescribed for?
It's not prescribed, but originally I think that it was, it might have been studied in the 60s for like memory problems. I think people with Alzheimer's, but I actually don't know the history of it because usually I get all of my data from PubMed. And if it's downloadable, I can get it. But there really aren't any articles that are any newer than the 90s or the early 2000s.
On that medicine.
On paracetam.
I guess to introduce before we start here, we have Dan Mullen. He was on the show earlier. We tried to do a show about 2 weeks ago via Skype or something, and it just wasn't working. It just it was horrible. So what I did, and we talked about doing this before. I had Dan is out. Where do you live again? Goldsboro?
Kernersville.
No, but I thought, aren't you near Goldsboro?
No, it's between Greensboro and Winston.
Greensboro. Do you know I get Greensboro, Goldsboro, Greenville. I get all three of those mixed up. They're all part of North Carolina, and I never know which one's which. I went to school in one of them. I don't know. Greenville. I went to school in Greenville. Right. So Greensboro.
Right.
Okay. Greensboro was on that movie with...
You can always just cut that silence out, too. So
now, sometimes I let it sit there. It's called dramatic sound. I did that on purpose. The one... he was a mobster. Denzel Washington was a mobster.
Training Day?
No.
No, I know you're talking about.
And
a drug dealer guy.
Speaking of Australians, that guy...
Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe was a cop that was after him, and he was running his drugs in through, they didn't say, but it looked like it was during the Vietnam War.
Les Mis?
Run it, what?
I said Les Mis?
Yeah, no, that's not it.
No, that guy was from Greensboro.
Yeah, yeah, he was a real guy, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. We know nothing. So if you're listening, this is complete bullshit.
I did see we'll just, that movie.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, he ran his drugs through Greensboro. So that's that. And of course, we have Savannah Steele, Dr. Steele.
Probably should give an alias now that I've given that whole spiel on.
Yeah. Well, it's not illegal.
It's not legal. I don't know.
It's not legal. It's not illegal. Yes. What is it?
I don't know.
It's undocumented.
It's a gray area.
Yeah, that gray area.
Undocumented drugs. So it's not like one of those, like Sativa? No, that's weed.
Salvia. That's definitely illegal. That's a class.
Oh, is it
one.
Really?
Salvia, I think. Isn't that like a plant herbal?
Yeah, people go off their minds on it.
From cactuses? Cacti?
Something like that.
Yeah. You go crazy. I mean, not crazy, but that'll make you high.
Oh.
It's not like that. That's illegal, isn't it?
Because you can get salvia plants. Yeah. It's just a generic name for plants at Home Depot and Lowe's. It's obviously not this thing that you're talking about, but there's a salvia plant. It's a very common garden plant.
You're saying you can get high at Lowe's?
Sure, they got all sorts of drain cleaners and whatnot there.
Kratom. Kratom's another one.
Kratom. That's legal.
Kratom. It's legal, but they still bust people for it. Like if you're shipping if you're shipping in lots of it, they'll bust you for it. Why? I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. It's like a opiate agonist.
Is it?
Crime? Yeah. It's an opiate agonist / anxiolytic, which means it's anti-anxiety, pain reliever, whatever. But it's 100% legal. And I think what makes them not illegalized... Wait, no, let me think about that for a minute. What makes things stay legal... And you know what? I'm talking completely out of my ass because I don't know. This could be completely wrong. But I was thinking like if you take too much of it and it kills you, they must make it illegal. Do you think that has something to do with it? But then there's weed.
Too much water will kill you.
So if you have it in mass quantities, you're either selling it or you're going to be abusing it.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's ever gotten sick off of Kratom or even weed. Or there's a bunch of them out there. How did this turn into a drug discussion?
I don't know.
Let's libertarian it up. Let's libertarian it up. Everyone should have drugs all the time. It's your choice.
Well, with weed, some people, if they take it, they have a gene that if you take, I think it's literally only if you're a teenager and you take weed, and if you are positive for that gene, you can actually have, it'll cause mental instability later on in life,
really?
Like hallucinations or things like that. I actually don't know what the exact.
Well, I know that between ages of like 16 and 28 is when your brain is like just starting to set. It's starting to become, actually it's a little higher than that, probably 20 to 29, and that's where most of the,
well, for men it never happens.
Da-dum, dump. Here, wait, I'll give you the one person clap.
I could have just clapped.
You're not getting the So it's going to be one of those shows, apparently. We've had some good shows, though, like that. When we had Moses come over, and we just shot the shit. Some of those I didn't even edit. I just put out because they were so good. We'll see what happens with this one. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what makes a drug legal or illegal or why they do it. And
it's pretty random, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. I know that...
Evil lobbyists.
Well, some of the stuff is. You know, what's the industrial marijuana? What's that called? Like hemp. So hemp is illegal because William Randolph Hertz was a big newspaper man back in the 20s. And they're like, hey, look at all this. So he owned the cotton fields, I guess, that they make paper out of. Right? Don't they use cotton?
I think that's trees. Yeah, I think I've heard this too.
Trees and the cotton and whatever. I thought it was a cotton-based, whatever it is.
Newspaper would be too expensive.
Linens oh, really?
Are. Like money is.
Oh, okay.
Linen cotton base.
So maybe it was a tree pulp area.
Yeah, he may have. I'm he owned sure something. He did that. Yeah,
and they're like, look, it cheaper, more, we can grow it. It matures a lot faster. Let's just use hemp. And he's like, to his buddies in Congress, he's like, hey, did you see this hemp thing? This is not good. And there's like, there's all these weird things. Like marijuana isn't even really marijuana. It's like a version of this hemp. And then the stuff that they make illegal is it, you can go down the rabbit hole with this whole thing, but they say that's one of the reasons why it was made illegal. And that's why it's even today. Like if you wanted, Kara has a friend whose son, it was allergic to like everything and all he could drink was hemp milk. And she has to import it from Canada because it's illegal to have it here. And it's hemp. It doesn't, you can't smoke it. You can't do anything. It's just a textile. Mm-hmm. But it was all conspiracy. Today on Conspiracy Theories.
It's not even a conspiracy. I mean, I bet you everybody would just, yeah, this is why it's illegal. William Randolph Hearst.
Yeah. Oh, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is strange that it doesn't get, I mean, it will get retracted because, I mean, Colorado, Washington, other states are starting to say it's okay. So, yeah. I mean, I think eventually it's going to be legal again in the U.S.
No one's ever given me a solid argument to why it shouldn't be. I don't know. What side of the fence do you stand on, Dan?
Well, I think it's...
You can argue
it. I think what will happen is if people say...
Speak into your microphone.
This is my thought, that if people
there you
started
go.
Saying if we became legal and then the heroin user says, well, how come my stuff can't be legal? Because weed used to not be. I think it's a slippery slope.
Well, no, then you just tell them, well, it can't be legal because your stuff kills people. That's what I would say. Yeah. But as a libertarian,
I would say go ahead, make it legal too.
I understand that. But if people were total individuals, mm-hmm. as far as like, you know, if you string out on heroin and you have to get help, where do you go to help to get? The government helps you out.
Right,
where does that money come from? Me.
Yeah.
So you're not truly a libertarian. But, I mean, I'm saying you guys aren't.
Yeah.
If someone's, you know, it's my butt, I can do what I want. You're absolutely right. But when you get strung out, you're going to look for help from the government, which is my money helping you out.
Do you think that more people would do heroin if it was legal?
Probably.
You think?
Not just necessarily heroin, but other yeah. narcotics.
I think marijuana, sure. I think you'd have a group of people that are like, I stayed away from it because I'm old now. I'm not going to go around buying drugs. There's no reason for me to ever smoke it anymore. But if they made it legal,
I'm so confused, right?
Pointing to myself.
But if it was legal and now there's no reason to not do it, sure, why not?
Yeah.
So take like me as let's just say as medicine. Let's say I can't prescribe it as a medicine. I'll go to jail. I can though write you a prescription for basically heroin. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm going to, here you go, take it and make you an addict in a week easily. Or that's my dog in the background. Yeah. I can write you a drug that if you take one or two too many of those, you're going to die. You mm-hmm. know, you're going to stop breathing.
Yeah.
But marijuana, which doesn't really have any negative side effects. I mean, people are going to, you know, I don't know. It's just silly. It's silly that I can't, even if you could overdose on it, I can't prescribe that, but I can prescribe heroin, mm-hmm. which is just for those who are listening. It's hydrocodone. These are all derivatives of it. Hydrocodone,
Oxycodone. Well, yeah.
There's oxymorphone.
There's also
too, right?
Hydromorphone, I think.
Hydromorphone.
Morphine.
Codeine.
Actually, Tylenol with codeine is over the counter, technically.
Oh, really?
But most pharmacists, I mean, it's at the pharmacist's discretion. And so most pharmacists will be like, no, I'm not giving you that. In Canada, they get it all the time.
Yeah.
So when they come down, they're like, hey, I've got a cough. Could you give me some Tylenol number 3 is what it is.
Yeah. That's I write scripts.
American pharmacists will be like, no way.
Yeah. That's what they make scissorp out of. This is my hip hop knowledge. You never heard of sipping on the scissorp?
I've heard of scissorp.
Yeah. So scissorp is like, I don't even know what it is. It's like,
I don't know what it is either.
It's like codeine and something else and you sip on it. Thus the sipping on some scissorp. It's a hip hop thing.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Go down to the ATL, hang out in The traps. You ever hear about the traps?
No.
Oh, check
is
out
it
on
in the ATL or is that anywhere?
Oh, it's in the ATL.
Oh, okay.
So traps. Never heard of trap music? Look at me. Look at me with my hip hop hat on, yeah, knowing all this stuff. So down in Atlanta.
You're just feeling pretty badass, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Where's my nine? The 22 up in the...
This is a very urban setting that we're sitting
in. Yeah, that's right. That's right. My gated community. There's a... Just, you know what? Go on to Vice and watch Noisy.
What is this Vice that you speak of?
Vice is a really cool... They're ultra-liberal, so you got to look past that, but it's a really cool...
I don't know if I can...
Yeah, it's
She's
no, it's
locked on her computer.
Yeah, it's a cool, it's like a immersion news program. So they, you know, like embedded journalism, but they, you take away all the corporateness of it, and you just have this one group of, you know, 22 to 35 year olds who like literally immerse themselves in this one kid on Noisy. So Noisy is a subsect of Vice where they do music and stuff, and this guy, and he's like a complete dork, I can't remember his name, but he's got like the dark rim glasses, total white boy, and he's hanging out with these hardcore gangster dudes down in Atlanta, hanging out with it, and he's learning about trap music and what trap music is and what it means, and yeah, it's I don't know how we got into that, but yeah, it's, check it out, it's on Noisy, just look up Noisy.
I will say, is it spelled conventional way?
Or I think
it,
so. Okay. I don't think there's any Z's in there, but it could be. But if you go on a, if you go on to, just go on to YouTube and go on, look up Vice, and Vice has like Vice Land. Vice Land is cool with Michael K. Williams. You know who he is? He's the guy who was on The Wire, Omar, who had the cut going down his face. He's got a nice scar on his face. He's from Baltimore, like the inner city. And so he's got like a pass to go into some of these deep crime areas. Mm. And he basically, he interviews people involved in carjacking or international illegal trade. He follows all the money and follows all the crime, and he gives you like a really cool in-depth look to what like underground a lot of these cities have. Yeah.
That sounds depressing though. I mean, after you watch it, are you like, oh, I want to kill myself?
It sort of is, but it isn't, because right now, what do I know about it? I go to work, I come home. You know, I don't have any taste in the crime world, and now you can watch this and be like, oh, that's how that does it. Like when they steal their cars, they put them in what are they called, those,
see, boot.
A boot, what?
I'm being stupid.
They put them in those metal crates, and then they,
like shipping containers,
yeah, shipping containers, and then they fill the shipping containers with like crap, like books and newspaper, and in the back
it?
Yeah, to hide it. And then there's so many of these shipping crates going through, like, so Baltimore has the docks right there. It's one of the biggest docks in, or whatever that's called, a international port.
Yeah.
So they can just move cars. You know, they'll get, you know, they steal a Mercedes, and they'll get 10 grand for it. They'll put it on this boat illegally, send it over for a couple $100. It gets overseas to, say, I guess one of their big buyers is out in Africa. And then they're buying them for like... Excuse me, gosh, like 50,000 or whatever. Still less than you could buy a new one, but now that guy just made a $40,000 profit off a car. Do that 10 times, there's $500,000 almost in a few. And
tax
they do.
Free,
yeah.
It seems so, like you could have like a laser or something that you point to these crates and you'd be able to see. Or like, I don't know. Isn't there some sort of sensor that could see through the crap?
I like to think that. Like in my mind, my imagination pretends that things are safe like that, but I don't think it is.
Well, I mean, we're not pointing them at the things, but I bet you, do you have like a thing where people can put comments on your website under the podcast?
Yeah.
If they could, then I would ask, if I would invite them to write in comments and say, oh yeah, you can point a blah XK40 Z90X onto.
So there's something called an XK40Z90X.
I just made that.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Wait, Mr. Captain Obvious today. So what does this do? Tell me what it does. So this is this brings us right in. Right, it was a nice little opening, kind of went here, there, and everywhere. But
perfect segue.
The topic of discussion today, speaking of CD underworld, yes, is hackers. Let me see. I was looking on my board to see if I had anything cool to play with hackers, but I don't have anything. Like da-na-na. I'll just edit some in. Yeah, we're gonna talk about hackers. I'll give you my take first off, and then
Wait, hackers or hacktivists?
Hackers, hacktivists, hacking.
The umbrella of
the whole thing. Illegal world, the borderline legal world of computer technology. So, like, I think 20 years ago, when we were growing up, it was like 30 years ago for you, Dan. Hackers were like, oh, this guy can break into a school and change grades, right? Or break into the Fed and steal money. And it didn't seem like anything more than that. It was like a gimmick, right? A gimmick for some movie. There was actually a movie made with, I think, Sandra Bullock or someone like that called Hackers back in maybe the early 90s.
Are you sure it wasn't The Net? I know she was in The Net.
Oh, that's what it was, The Net. Yeah. There's one called Hackers, too, though.
Okay, I gotta watch that.
Yeah. It's dated. Like, they're, you know, have the big giant computer screens and they're like, whoa, dude, right? Because that's what they were like in the 90s. So, everyone's wearing fluorescent colors and
their giant phones.
Yeah, yeah. So, it was more of a gimmick back then. And then, have you noticed, and we talk about this a lot, and I always bring this up, but it's so true that technology is really starting to get away from itself. Like, every time, like, I feel like today there's more technology, and there is, but I feel it. I feel the technological advancements today more than I did a year ago, and then more than I did 2 years ago. Like, I can actually, like, stupid things like Pokemon Go.
How quickly that caught on?
Yeah, and things like that, you're like, wow. And the way that social media, like Twitter was kind of something that people did, and you're like, why are you wasting your time with that? And now everyone does Twitter constantly all the time. Like, I feel like it's really integrating, and it's, and maybe that's just, maybe I'm being obvious it's integrating, but I know, I think it's really becoming our lives.
Well, sort of, but I do see it as, and this is crazy that I'm actually saying this, because I used to be so pro-tech, but I've just recently read a book called Deep Work by Cal Newport, I think. No, New something. And
good plug there.
It's called Deep Work. Anyway.
Deep
work.
Work. Okay.
Yeah. So I take it as deep work is when you really immerse yourself into your work.
Okay.
Which, I mean,
you
I
get think, deeply involved in your work.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it.
Hence deep the name. Work.
Yes. Okay. We're there.
So it's pretty self-explanatory. And essentially he says, if it's not part of your job, get rid of Twitter and get rid of Facebook. So if you are constantly checking your phone, or if you just check your phone when you're at, this is the crazy thing. If you just check your phone when you're at the grocery store, mm-hmm. just to allay some boredom, you actually are kind of, it's kind of like eating junk food, like mm-hmm. and being an athlete. So you have to continuously, you have to eat healthy all the time if you want to be a good athlete. You can't just every once in a while just have some junk food and think it's okay.
Yeah.
And those moments on your phone are kind of like junk food for the brain. Mm-hmm. And they do, I recognize that they do kind of train my brain to not be very focused. So I think that at some point we're either going to have to integrate with the technology so that we can keep up with the ADD of it all mm-hmm. and still be able to deeply immerse ourselves. Or at some point, human beings are going to have to, the ones who want to be successful are going to have to cut themselves off, like as though the internet is a drug.
Because it's dumbing us down. I've read that it actually, people have the same reaction, the same like dopamine responses or whatever to checking a Twitter feed or checking their Facebook when they see that little red button that... It shows how excited are you, Dan, when you turn on your Facebook and you see four red.
Oh, it's usually
Christmas.
Nonsense.
I'm kidding. I don't even do Facebook anymore. I don't.
Oh, yeah?
I hate it. But that was just tongue in cheek. I was talking about it. So yeah, you get. I see what you're saying there, and that's basically what I'm getting at. So now you start adding hackers into this. They can get. They can get access to everything on you. A hacker can, like, if all it takes is them to get into a few things and they have your whole life. And if you think about it, if they wipe out your bank accounts, they wipe out your photographs on the cloud now, or your notes on the cloud, or whatever, they can literally blank out your life.
Yeah.
That's insane. And a lot of them are doing it just as vandalism. Mm. That's what,
it's fun. They're kids. Like, a lot of them are kids. So they don't, it's hard, you can't even really blame them because you're like, you're just an idiot child.
Yeah.
I probably would have done something stupid like that too when I was a kid.
We just had the technology at our hand disposal.
Yeah.
Is doing stuff like spray painting or whatever you make.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. And that show on.
Actually, I was a really good kid, but.
Okay. On that show that we were watching on Netflix, Hackers or something.
Which one? The Nova special?
Yeah. That's what happened to this guy. He was a journalist, and he just watched his whole life just get clobbered, and they were kids. Mm-hmm. And he contacted him. He's like, look, I'm mad that you did this, but I'm a journalist. Let's talk about how you did it. And I guess he got some information about it. I don't know if he got any of his stuff back. But
they made it sound like he kind of didn't.
Yeah.
I was hoping he would say, and in the end, the children gave me my, letters from dead loved ones back, which
emails.
One of the things that he said. Yeah, emails.
So it's becoming, so with all that, it basically what we're getting at is hacking is not just something that someone does to rob a bank or whatever. It's becoming a critical part of your life if someone attacks it. It's becoming more and more dangerous or... what's that word I'm looking for? Damaging to your life. Mm-hmm. So it's scary and it's out there.
Mm. More and more impactful, I guess, because we rely on it.
Versus being a major nuisance.
Yeah.
Now it's a...
And there was one group that was doing it just to be a nuisance. And then you have... So, and we talked about this and we were debating whether to do this show. We said, all right, so... You have hackers and you have what they do. And then you do have some that hack into banks or steal. There was a big theft of Bitcoin recently, mm-hmm. Which they were saying they weren't even sure if they could do that. But yeah, now I guess they can steal Bitcoin. Did you read about how they did it?
So this has been done before. Like Mt. Gox was hacked.
Okay.
But it's not the actual the Bitcoin blockchain. So nothing has ever altered the stability of the Bitcoin code. Mm-hmm. So that is still intact, which is why the price of Bitcoin currently is still $570, $80.
Mm-hmm.
But I think hackers, people who just want money, were able to hack Bitfinex, I think is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So
and literally steal them. They're like bearer bonds, right? Mm-hmm. If you have the Bitcoin, you have it. Now, what if your phone gets destroyed? Is your Bitcoin...
It depends on where you're storing it. So some people can use their phone as, I guess, the Bitcoins are actually on the phone
and
they're not anywhere else. So if it gets destroyed, you lose them.
Yes,
there was actually a case a long time ago, right when Bitcoin was first starting, and you could buy them for pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody bought probably something like, I don't know, I want to say $10 million worth of Bitcoin at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he bought it for like a pizza. I can't remember. It was something very, he thought, inconsequential.
Yeah.
And he had them stored on his computer. And then he threw out the computer. He forgot about the Bitcoins and threw out the computer.
Oh, I remember reading about that.
They're gone.
Oh, no.
He donated his computer to like Goodwill or something like that. And something, the computer was gone.
Can you imagine? Like, would you ever forgive yourself?
I think you'd have to. I would just forget about it immediately. I would just be like, whatever, it didn't happen.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's what I have to do with all of my shitty investments.
Wow.
I've only had like one or two.
Yeah. Are you in Tesla?
No. Why? What's happened?
It's rolling along. I think it's overvalued, but still, I feel like owning Tesla these days is going to be like owning Apple 20 years ago. That's what I like to think, especially with the idea that he's going to the moon. No, he's going to Mars. Do you want to go to Mars or moon?
But that's not Tesla. That's another one of his ventures, isn't it? Like SpaceX?
Right. But I mean, they're all kind of interrelated by this. You're right. But I mean, look at automated cars.
He knows stuff.
Yeah.
I trust him.
Yeah. Automated cars are going to be, they say in 3 years now, they're going to start being on the road. Heck, you drove a car that you said.
Yeah, lane assist.
Lane assist. Yeah. He couldn't turn the lane without having his directional on. His blinker.
It would like. I know this is a visual thing, but if you started to veer off.
So what Dan is doing, he's standing on one leg.
The steering wheel would fight you as you were trying to turn if you didn't put your blinker on.
That seems kind of dangerous.
Lane. Yeah, but apparently you can drive without, you know, like that guy who crashed in North Florida, he crashed into a semi in a Tesla.
Yeah.
They say he was probably watching an aftermarket DVD. He didn't slow down at all.
Yeah. But well, his car got confused. He thought that the white truck was
at a certain angle.
He thought the truck was a
straight into a tractor trailer yeah. training.
Did he get killed or he just, he did?
Yeah.
Ooh,
he was a Navy SEAL.
Terrible.
He was a Navy SEAL? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a shitty way to go. Man.
Yeah. Can you imagine Navy SEAL and then you die in a car accident?
Yeah, a robot car accident. Actually, do you know what? If you're going to die in a car accident...
That's really the best way to
yeah,
go.
Yeah, robot car accident.
Back.
Yeah. How'd you die, robots? Well, good for you. How'd you die? I slipped in the bathtub when I was 85 and pooped myself. They found me 3 weeks later, stinking up the whole neighborhood. Yeah, I don't think I want that. I don't think I want that, but I guess... By the time I'm 85, though, my robot butler will have picked me up, cleaned me up, got the corpse all yeah. looking good. And then at least that's what I would program for it.
Your Roomba will figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be 85 and my robot will be like, okay, this is what happens. If you find me dead, clean up all the drugs. Because when I'm 85, I'm going out. Like, I mean, think about it. Why wouldn't you? If you're 85 years old and, you know, you lived your life and now you're enjoying
today's world, you mean?
Oh, yeah, because this is going to be down the road. But still, you know, you lived your life, you did everything well, and now it's your time to just sit back and relax. Why aren't you just, you know, I don't know, smoking a 4-foot bong out on the back porch and just relaxing and laughing and eating pies?
Yeah. I mean, I would never do, like, I don't recommend cocaine or heroin
or
meth.
But if you're 85?
But if I'm 90 years old yeah. and I got nothing else to do, I'm going to try all
that
shit.
Meth. Why not?
Worry about your great-grandkids and all that.
Well, why would I have to worry about
it? I would tell them to look away.
I'd be right, like, I mean, that's where my robot butler is going to step in. Because that, let's see, 85 is 45 years from now for me, roughly. I mean, they're talking the artificial general intelligence. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can check out Wait What If podcast number 39, for which I spoke with James Barrett about his book, Artificial Intelligence. No, Our Final Invention. I can never remember the subtitle, but it's like how AI... Something.
Our Final Invention, just enough
look,
said.
Enough said, yeah. Look up Our Final Invention. But they say by 2030, I think it's 2030. Yeah, 2029, roughly, they're going to have AGI. So that's your laptop that you can buy is going to be smart as a human being. That's 14 years from now. So I'll be, what, 53? That's young, I think.
I'll finally be eligible to drink beer.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to, in addition to the.
Well, so then we'll have like this little iPad that I'm filming this on or recording this on is going to be as smart as a human. So the interface between me and it will be the same as.
It's going to be a lot smaller than that too.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
it'll be implanted in your.
Will everyone have one?
Well, they say that. Where it's going to make a difference is when it's your personal computer that's smart as a human. So that's what they're aiming at 2029, 2030, somewhere around there. So, yeah,
so
ideally...
So they think the smart as a human is going to happen... Well, it doesn't really matter whether... Okay. Once you have smart as a human abilities, then that's probably going to be fairly quickly distributed. Universally, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean... Well, you gotta listen to the podcast, read the book. It gets pretty scary.
I did listen to the podcast.
Oh, you did?
Damn it. I probably need to listen again.
You're right. I mean, you have artificial general intelligence and it's smart, but it's only as smart as us. So it can only do as much as we can do. It's when it starts to become smarter than us. That's where the problems start to lie. And yeah, with that one, it can proliferate itself across the globe in seconds. It's called the intelligence explosion.
Yeah.
And we can't predict what it would do because we don't know. We've never, this earth, it's like trying to tell a blind person what the color purple is. On this planet, we've never had anything smarter than humans. So we can't predict what something smarter than us is going to do, what its motives will be. We can't. We don't know, like, what's it going to, they say it's like this. You know where every light switch is in your house and you know whether it's on or off. You know, if you walk through and checked and now you're sitting down watching TV. Artificial superintelligence will know every atom on this earth and what it's being used for and how it can use it for its
purpose.
Yeah. Which means that little skin cell at the end of your nose, if it needs it, it's going to take it because it doesn't care about you. And this is even humanizing it. What do they call that?
Anthropomorphizing.
Yeah. You're anthropomorphizing ASI. You can't do that because... It's not going to be us. It's going to be the next level of us.
You mean AGI?
AGI is artificial general intelligence. Oh, okay. ASI is artificial super intelligence.
Okay. I probably do need to listen to that podcast again.
So. Read the book. It's good. The book's really good. Okay. He just does. And I'm interviewing Calum. I'm going to get his name wrong. He's from Great Britain, I think. It's like Calum Chase. He wrote a couple books on it. He contacted me and said, hey, do you want another, take on AI? And I said, sure. So we're going to talk. Yeah, you could come on this one. It's going to be, I got to look. I want to say it's like September 10th. It's down the road a little bit. But
He and I just be yesing each other because I'm just going to, is he going to be very positive on ASI?
I don't know. I looked at his, I haven't read it yet, but I glanced at his book and I was like.
What's it called again?
His book? I don't remember. Calum Chase. I'll text you and let you know all the stuff. But that's going to be a fun show. But I mean, it's definitely, it's not just a boogeyman. Here's a scary story. And then it's never going to happen. Like a Y2K, we're like, oh, in Y2K, everything's right. going to get screwed up. And there's people, this is one of those things. It's like, yeah, this is coming online pretty quickly. And it's dangerous. And you got people like, Stephen, and I always say his name wrong. Stephen Hawking, Hawking. Okay. Hawking. It's like Stephen Hawking and, what's his name? Elon Musk. All these just big brains are saying, ooh, yeah, we need to really kind of rein this technology in because it could destroy humans. It could be the end of our civilization very shortly. And not a good way, because think about it. If it says, I want all your atoms, I don't mean anything bad by it, but I could use your atoms. It's going to take your atoms. And the way it takes your atoms is by deconstructing them molecule by molecule with nanotechnology. Dun, dun, dun.
I wonder if it could do me the favor of doing that in a painless manner. Take away all of my atoms.
Will it care,
liquefy
though?
Me painlessly.
Let's say your house is overrun with mice, and you're like, just get them out of here. Mice are, look at them, they're everywhere. Aww, would you?
They're kind of cute. I would dispose of them humanely, robot overlords.
Yeah. We had a mouse one time. It was under our fridge. And we open, I pull the fridge out and it jumps and it runs across and Car and I are chasing it. We're like, we're going to get this thing out of the house. And then we stop and I get him in the corner and I have the broom and I'm about to whack him. And he looks up with his little mouse ears and his little mouse eyes. And I was like, oh, he's kind of cute. And then it was like, that was his thing. Like he looked cute at me. He was like, got him. And he took off. And we're like, you son of a bitch. So evolutionarily, I guess it works in their favor. So let's talk about artificial intelligence hackers. You know what? Let's actually back up from there. So now we know there's hackers. We know that they can totally destroy your life if they want to. And now we have
the bad ones. So I think those are called the black hat hackers.
There's and then a movie called Black Hat, right?
I don't know, but those are the black hats. And then I think there's the white hats, which are good hackers.
Right. I didn't realize that. And a good hacker. Now that, how do you define what's a good hacker? What's a bad hacker? Julian Assange, good hacker, bad hacker. He's not really a hacker.
Did he hack? Yeah.
No. Snowden, good hacker,
he
bad
just
hacker.
Compiled Snowden's stuff.
Yeah, but okay. So they come down on Snowden. They say, "Well, Snowden released all this information, and people are dead because of Snowden. People are dead because of Hillary Clinton." So where do you're just, and suppose he didn't release that information, and a drone strike killed a caravan full of children, right? Anytime you play a card, you play a hand, someone's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. The only place you don't have that is, us, the little people. Like if I check my email today, it's not going to kill anyone. But just the act of even swearing someone else into office means that you've set in the motion people dying. It's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he had that information. If he releases it, people are going to die. If he doesn't release it,
people will die.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Most likely. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about him.
Yeah, me neither. It kind of also weirdly, even though I know that maybe this doesn't matter to most people, it matters what his rationale was.
Yeah.
To me, that actually makes a difference.
Well, I think he was very, like when he, was he part of Stuxnet or he was part of
Edward Snowden?
Yeah. Or no. He was part of, it was something along the lines. I don't remember what it was called now. It's like this famous thing.
Stuxnet is a famous virus.
Yeah,
that's when it's designed
centrifuges out in Iran. I don't remember what it was called, but he's the one that was like, whoa, we're collecting all this data, all of it, and we're storing it. That's not cool. And he felt it was his need to tell the world that.
Yeah. See, it's hard for me to fault that. Like, I get that maybe there were negative consequences. Although he was, wasn't he sworn not to reveal that information?
And yeah, like, oh, yeah, I'm sure he was.
Military. You could have quit your job.
Yeah, well, he was.
Couldn't
he
have quit his job?
Yeah, I would think so.
So, that part makes me think, okay, that wasn't so great. You kept your job. You kept working with these people. Maintained, like, essentially a false impression with all of your coworkers.
Yeah.
And then screwed them all over. That part, I'm not sure I could do.
Yeah. There's a movie coming out. I think it just came out, actually, yesterday. No idea what it's called. But it's about Snowden. Oliver Stone directed it. So now I'm kind of like, hey, Oliver Stone, he did that JFK one where it was all this bullshit that was
didn't
like
happen?
Yeah, that's like a total fictitious he used some
rendition.
Yeah, it's completely like, if you ever watch, like, you can even just go on YouTube and look up JFK Oliver Stone fact versus fiction. He threw a lot of fiction in there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what he's going to throw into this one. But there's also HBO has one called Citizen One or Citizen X or Citizen, I could look. And it's about, it's a documentary about Snowden. They actually interview him and stuff. And it's pretty good. And the level he goes to, like, protect himself and his identity makes me think they know a lot about us. Like, he was typing in his password and he put a blanket over his head. And in order to talk, he would, like, unplug the telephones. And because
he put viruses, a blanket over his head?
Yeah, to log in. And, like, there's ways they can, everywhere they can grab your stuff. Like, they can turn your phone into a listening device.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Someone could be listening to our conversation right now.
No way.
Doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, he just seems like, at least his rationale was solid. Maybe you might disagree with it, but he has some sort of moral code.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about Assange. Like, sometimes he sounds like a psychopath.
Is he really?
I don't
know anything about him. He looks creepy as all hell. He looks like a villain.
Yeah.
Which, as far as I'm concerned, looks definitely mean if you're good or bad. Which is why I got my eyes on him. Always have a gun nearby. No, but yeah.
Snowden's very good looking.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he kind of looks like a dork.
Mm.
I'm not into guys, but I can tell a handsome guy, you know? Like,
I thought he was really good looking, and he didn't seem that dorky. He's just, I mean, from my perspective, he just seems young. But
I think it's his glasses. His glasses kind of make him look dorky.
Hmm. That's interesting. Hmm.
He's played by, what's his name? A handsome man.
An actor in Hollywood?
Yeah, he played Bruce Willis's younger self in Looper.
Ew, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, yeah, or something like
he's
that?
He's not handsome? What? I totally can't read like good-looking,
I mean,
people.
Don't get me wrong, I would date him, but yeah, he's not that great-looking.
He's not a good-looking guy? How about, I keep thinking of all my go-tos here. My go-tos as far as
go-to hot men.
Yeah, yeah. My go-tos on hot men. Now I can't think of any. How about the guy from the new Jurassic Park?
Oh, I love him. Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt.
He's good looking, but more importantly, he seems like, this is totally off topic, but he seems like a genuinely awesome human being.
That's why I get along with him. We tweet back and forth.
No, you're kidding me.
No.
I actually believed you for a second. I was like, yes.
I never heard of Margot Robbie until you told me.
Oh,
we had a podcast and you said something about Margot Robbie. Robbie. And I was like, yeah, who is that? And then I watched the trailer for
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's who that is.
So when guys watch that trailer, do they think, oh, she's so hot? Or do they think, whoa, she looks freaky?
I mean, she looks hot because, you know, she's wearing makeup.
Yeah.
So that's, okay. Yeah. And especially the scene where, I mean, they just make her, they sexualize her through the whole thing.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
They break a window and she's wearing a mini skirt. She like bends over to grab something out of there. And then you're like, oh, okay. That's why people, they put that in there to get people to watch it. I've never heard of the Suicide Squad, but she's got a nice ass. I think I'll go watch it. Right? Isn't that how they get some people? I don't know.
You speak for men. I cannot.
But I don't look at any of that. I'm a married man, family man. That's all.
Dan's just being quiet through this entire topic.
I'm not a movie guy.
Oh.
I'm just taking it all in, though.
Do you watch any media? Like, What do you?
I watch.
How do you live your life?
Yeah, talk shows and like nature shows and sports.
Nature shows. I just notice how I just gloss over the sports. Nature. What kind of nature shows?
Like David Attenborough type shows.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Who's David Attenborough?
He's a British documentarian. It's
you just Richard, lost all of your UK fans.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Yeah,
it's Richard Attenborough's brother. He's like 80.
It's whose brother?
Sir Richard Attenborough. He's an actor.
Okay,
it's his little brother. But he's been doing nature documentaries for probably 35 years.
Is he the guy that wears like he like wears the short shorts and he's got long hair and he's always like jumping in the water and he's like a little he's like total 70s cheese bag, but he does all these
documentaries. Are you talking about the Crocodile Hunter?
No, Steve similar. Irwin? This guy's similar, okay. But this guy wears like cut off jeans and he's got long hair.
85 years old.
Well, I mean, this guy did it back in the 60s and 70s. So maybe I'm wrong. Have you ever seen there's a documentary about this guy who becomes a mercenary in Syria, well, he becomes a volunteer. He's like a computer nerd, and he's like, what am I doing with my life? And he's like, maybe I should go fight in Syria. I think he went to Syria at one point. Now I got to watch it again. It's called something like, it's going to bug me. He videotaped this whole thing. It's called like Point and Shoot or something like that. It kind of has that name like, gun. Could it be a gun or could it be a camera? And this guy he was a dork and he wasn't doing anything with his life. So he's like, I'm going to go and buy a motorcycle and ride through the Middle East as a reporter.
Mad Max.
Yeah, pretty much is what it looked like. And he went from dork to like just badass war correspondent. And then he went to, during his travels, that's right, he went into Libya. He became friends with a lot of people there, and then he left. And then the Libyan civil war broke out. That's what it was. And he went back to Libya to fight with his friends because he didn't want to see them get killed. And it was legit. He survived, but...
Is it based on a true story?
Yeah, it's a documentary. But the reason why he did that is because he was a big fan of this outdoors documentary guy, and that's the only time I ever heard of him, because during this show they're showing clips of this guy and he's like total cheeseball, short shorts, but apparently he's really famous. He might even be Australian. Everyone apparently knows him who know, I guess, this sort of thing. But yeah, so he mimicked that. He's like, well, I'm gonna buy a motorcycle and a camera, and he would do things like, you know, when you have one camera, how do you film yourself? And he learned everything on the way. He even learned how to ride his motorcycle on the way. He didn't even know how to do that.
He pointed at himself.
Yeah. Or he would drive up, put the camera down, and then drive back like a mile and just to get the long shot of him coming up the road and things like that. But yeah, check it out. I wish I knew what it was called. It was like to Point and Shoot or something like that.
When was it made?
I saw it maybe last year. So it was made a couple of years ago. Yeah, because Libby only happened. Well, 4 years ago, right? 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that.
He sounds brave.
Like, yeah.
I have
the
no...
Benghazi thing happened in 2012.
Okay. Yeah. And this was before Libya, right? Or no, that was during Libya.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it was a while ago then. But yeah, you have to be brave. Yeah, you didn't fault the guy. I didn't fault the guy. I mean, he had his...
balls.
Yeah. It's like... And when you see him, you're like... All right, so he goes, like he does, he goes from like guy who's sitting in front of a computer nerd to like, yeah, just a total badass. And he was like, what's that called when you're not attached to any like news source, but you're like, hey, I'm available, like at large,
freelancer.
Yeah. So he basically rode into Iraq and he's like, I'm a freelancer. And he's like, here's all my camera stuff. And they said, all right, pass on by. So he just rode in and called up like, CNN was like, hey, I'm out here. I got a camera. Do you want me to work for you? And they're like, sure. Yeah, it was kind of, so he talked his way through all these crazy things. And he has a crazy story about how he like got to Libya, because Libya is across the ocean from the Middle East. You gotta get down to Africa, and how he got down there. And it was pretty cool. I said ocean. I think it's a sea.
I don't follow you.
Is it the Caribbean? Mediterranean.
Atlantic.
Yeah. So what else? Or Snowden. Back to Snowden. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. And then I guess we could go from Snowden to what you're pointing. Up, down, left, right.
I was anonymous. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, anonymous. Now you said you were afraid to talk about anonymous, and I'm not.
Oh yeah.
You serious?
Well, yeah. No, it's weird that we just had that weird.
I know. We say anonymous and also we're getting hacked. Well, here's the thing. Like, I it's not like there's two things. We're not coming on and saying, F anonymous, F what they do. I don't know why I'm censoring myself now, but, there are a bunch
of. They're listening.
Yeah, because they think, yeah. But I mean, you know what? If you are a public group like that and you're doing the things you're doing, I mean, you should be open to public discussion about what you're doing.
I think they are, right? I mean,
yeah.
At one point they had a guy who, I think Barrett Brown was his name. He was essentially their spokesperson. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just from one documentary that I became an expert from.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, so that was sort of some sort of organization, but mm-hmm. I was actually just at a Bitcoin meetup this afternoon and I asked them what they thought about these hacker groups. And one guy made a really good point. He's just like, anybody could really come up and say they're a part of Anonymous. Yeah. You don't really know. It's anonymous. He's like, I kind of see it as just a mob.
Yeah.
So in that respect, I can see how maybe it's not a group that I would want to align myself with necessarily.
Yeah.
However, I did appreciate after, I think when France was attacked, mm-hmm. they band together and I think they made a video about how they were going to take ISIS down or something like that. And I was like, yes, that's a good purpose for hacktivism.
I'll tell you where I lie on that. And if I can, I don't know if you had something to say, but,
go ahead.
So we have nations and nations launch wars and they perform, actions, what do they call them? Kinetic actions, blowing stuff up or whatever. But they do it under rules and laws. And the reason why they do things is because either a law has been violated or their sovereignty of their nation is in jeopardy. We like to think that that's why wars are fought, right? But, you know, governments corrupt, and things happen, you know, and what's supposed to keep that in check is the First Amendment. Free speech, right? The press is supposed to be able to just totally blow up the government, not literally, figuratively, with facts. And, you know, they're supposed to be able to uncover scandal and the government has no say into it. They can't say, whoa, you can't be investigating this. Why not? I'm a journalist and I'm keeping you in check. But now the journalists, they're going to, what's that thing they have every year with the president?
The White House correspondence.
Yeah, they go to the correspondence dinner. They're just in bed. They're in bed with it, and they're not going to report something. Or they're. I think basically what I'm saying is the problem that we're having today is with the First Amendment, with a free press. Because I don't think the press is free. I think they're bound by political alliances. Agenda, yeah. And so when you do that, the press is no longer free. So now you have these people like Anonymous or other organizations that are out there that are saying, no, screw that. We are going to get to the bare bones of what's going on and we're going to dump that information out there. And part of me says, hey, at least it's keeping someone in check. Mm-hmm. Do I want that group to launch a unilateral attack against, say, Korea? Probably not, right? Let's leave that to the nation states. Mm. Or let's say there's a politician they don't like and they want to hack into him and ruin. I'm using him nowadays. You can't. If I say him, we're meaning Trump, right? No, I'm saying there's only two people out there right now. Yeah, that's true. So, but if they take someone down now, I don't know. When you start talking about that, I think that's manipulative. Unless they're uncovering stuff that we need to know about. So I don't know. I guess my answer is I don't know.
It's very hazy. I can't really say I'm staunchly on one side or another.
Right. Especially if they release something that harms someone that you don't like, but they can just easily flip it
right.
And harm someone that you like, and then you're like, oh. I don't like those people.
Yeah.
You can't have both ways.
Maybe it's good. I mean, maybe it's good to just lay out the secrets. If these people are keeping secrets, you know, then we know we don't want them in power. I don't want Hillary in power, and truthfully, I don't want Trump in power.
Nobody does.
Yeah, we're
screwed. Nobody wants either of them in power.
I know.
Right. If the press did their job like they're supposed to, there wouldn't be a need for the anonymous.
Yeah, there shouldn't
be. But, you know, as we discussed a little bit earlier, that's not happening.
Or if they go into, if someone's acquitted of a crime and they say, hey, do you know what? We don't agree with that decision. We're going to take this guy down. Then I start saying, well, no, now you're messing with our justice system. Well, our justice system has systemic biases that are, well, Not really, if you look at the studies. So you have, if you don't trust the justice system, then what do you, I mean, you're basically saying you don't trust the government, and then what's the point of having a government? I think a lot of people drink the Kool-Aid of anarchists. A lot of people drink the Kool-Aid that, you know, everything with the government's bad and this and the other thing. But I think there's a reason for it. So basically, vigilantism is, there's a reason why we don't have it, because, you know, you're taking away someone's rights without due process. Mm-hmm. And if the due process has been executed the way the Constitution says, then these people really shouldn't go in and attack them. I don't know. I mean, that's just...
Well, let's say that ultimately, if we believe, and here's what I like to think, and so I think the evidence supports me in this, that ultimately the good guys win. So that's kind of why we've had progressive, you know, increases in our quality of life over time, because, mm-hmm. Consistently good things win out. I don't know. That's sort of a very weird way of putting it, but let's just say that's true. Mm-hmm. Then if you allow this vigilantism, then the good vigilantes should outweigh the bad vigilantes. So every once in a while, you'll have a vigilante who will hack the email of Hillary Clinton and let that out, whether or not that's free or whether or not that's good or bad. I mean, I don't know where I stand on that. I don't like her, but also I can't say that I think that's a great thing to hack somebody's email. But let's say you have that. Well, then you'd have some good vigilantes, quote unquote, that would, I don't know, go back and encrypt it or something so that nobody could see it. I mean, I would just say that if we allow it to happen, then the good will outweigh the bad.
Yeah.
We just kind of have to accept that we can't protect ourselves from the bad, which I think is what people ultimately wish they could do.
And it's only getting, and like we talked about, to bring it in full circle, we talked about the beginning of the show, how integrated technology is getting. It's just becoming more and more integrated. And the damage that you'll be able to, or that you'll receive from someone hacking, I mean, the privacy, it's going to be insurmountable, especially if you think about, like the idea of having a implant, a retinal implant, or even just a contact lens or something, and now it can see inside your house. It knows what you're looking at.
There's an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't watch the end of it because it was kind of getting bored to me. But
are you serious?
Yeah, he was like rewinding, and they would watch things all over. They're like, "No, this is what you said." They'd watch it. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, I thought that was intriguing.
Yeah, I got bored towards the end of that one. I'll have to watch it because I was like, "What's going to happen?" I was expecting during that episode that something big was going to happen, and mm-hmm. maybe something big does happen, but I don't know. Black Mirror. It's on BBC, but it's what you can get on Netflix, I think. Oh. What do you do, man? Read? Dork. Watch TV, dude. Drink beer.
Well, having a 3.5-year-old, I watch a lot of Nicktoons and mm-hmm. stuff of that nature.
That's why our kids go to bed.
I've seen the Lego movie about 15 times.
Really?
Probably no more than
that. I hear it's good.
Speaking of Chris Pratt, he was the lead. But
was he?
Yeah.
Did they do that? Was that stop frame or was that computer animation?
I don't know. It's got to be computer animation because it would take forever.
I thought they did like...
Legos as they have.
I thought they did stop frame or whatever. Is that what it's called? Stop frame?
Stop action. Yeah.
Stop action.
It's got to be computer because there's just so many like explosions.
Yeah.
How would you explode with stop action?
Yeah. Well, you could come up with
a way. I guess they could do it.
Yeah. That's why we put our kids to bed at 7:30 on the dot. Bam. By 8 o'clock, I'm kicking back.
Netflix and...
No, actually, I work on the podcast from 8 to 10. And then at 10 o'clock, I'm chilling and...
Netflixing.
Yeah. It's great. I could read. I have been reading, though. I've been reading for the podcast a lot.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
What have you been reading? Books or?
No, Twitter. And, no, I'm just kidding.
Twitter and Facebook.
140 calories. 140 calories at a time. No, I read the AI book. I read Garrison's book, The Helicopter Pilot. I'm reading this new guy. I'm going to read his book, Callan Chase. So yeah, I got to read for this thing. And that's why, that's kind of why I did the podcast. I'm like, I'm just sitting here watching TV. I could be doing something. So now I'm edumacating myself.
I'm going to get on that. I'm going
to. I'm wicked smart. How is your podcast going?
Oh, I feel like you are taunting me.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have a second podcast. It's not going to be released yet. I told you about it, right?
Yeah.
I texted you about it. Yeah. I keep getting better and better ideas. The first one I sent to you, I looked at it later and I'm like, that actually doesn't sound like a good idea. But since when I dreamt about it, it seemed like a great idea. You ever do that?
I feel like when you dream about something, it's your subconscious is telling you something.
Yeah.
I feel like you shouldn't ignore it.
Oh, no, I'm going to do it. It's going to be weekly, and it's only going to be like a half hour long, so I don't need all this work. But yeah, there will be a new podcast that's coming out.
Cool.
And it should probably... I'll receive some death threats, I'm pretty sure. but yours, and I... What about the name? Tell me that didn't just... I was like, no!
Oh, wait, what... You had a suggestion for the name?
You hate the name, man.
I forgot it. No, I'm
tech savvy.
Oh yeah, that was good. Except I can't take on that name. Why? That's so misleading. That makes it sound like I really know my stuff. I'm not a tech person.
Isn't your whole podcast going to be about?
Well, it's going to be about biohacking,
which technology.
No, it's more medicine.
Oh. Well, you like futuristic stuff.
Yeah,
futurism.
Tech savvy. I mean, that would be rad if I could. If I could assume that name. I don't feel like I'm worthy of it, though.
Yeah, what if you, like, you can't do bio-savvy? That just sounds kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Well, now I feel like you're telling me biohacking with Savannah isn't a great name.
It is a good name. How about, I'm good at this, my new thing, marketing. You just go around marketing things. I see people, I'm like, hey, your child should be named this. Check it out, Big Lights.
Has anybody ever took you up on that?
Changing names? No. Dan, do you have anything to add?
What's going on?
Did you have fun?
Absolutely.
By the way, when you must have, I don't know what you do, but my phone gave me an alert saying YouTube, the Wait What If podcast is starting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It knows.
And so, I clicked on it and I started watching and I put a little... like or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But right when I started watching, you said, this is weird. All of a sudden, everything really, really got slow or something like that. There's like a huge tech issue. And I thought, shit, that's my fault because I watched. And so I turned off immediately.
I think I remember you telling me that. You're like, I think I caused it. And I said, yes, it was you. No, it's what it is I gotta go hard line. I got to bring a hard wire here and whatever that's called. See, I'm not tech
Ethernet
savvy.
Ethernet cord?
Yes. Yes, I need to do the Ethernet. Yeah,
savvy.
Yeah,
maybe I do know my shit.
Even if you don't know your shit, being a podcaster named Tech, you could have tech people on, do all like futuristic stuff. What's coming out? What's going? What's down the pipeline, as they say? A lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. Did you see that they're coming up with a? They say by summer of next year, just like we were talking about earlier, what's that called? A contact lens. That will actually display in your retina and give you 3D real life imaging in front of you. You didn't hear about this?
No.
Because I just made it up. But
are you
yeah, I just told
Damn
you that.
It. I was going to say, that has to put Magically out of business.
I know. Well, yeah, that's pretty cool. I saw that. That's pretty cool. Magic Leaf, right?
Leap. I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Not to be confused with like Leap Pad young
children. This is like a glass that does that. And it's a lot lighter than... Did you see the... Microsoft has one. I think it's Microsoft.
A HoloLens?
HoloLens, yeah. I still want... I mean, that stuff's so cool. I love that. I love technology. I just do. And if it's cool and fun... I got to show you my Google Cardboard. I have a Google Cardboard and you can watch like 3D things on your phone. It's pretty fun. I mean, it's not great, but it's enough to make you want to throw up. Yeah. Wrap it up. That was a great episode. Oh my goodness. We learned all sorts of fun stuff from Dr. Steele. Dr. Steele. And Dan. and myself, Kevin Sullivan. Check us out. I know you don't listen to the whole end of the song, so I'll just... Because my ending song is so long, and I have this British woman telling all this stuff. So I'm going to tell you right now, check us out on Wait What If, at WWI Podcast on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook, I guess. I would just do the Twitter thing, or just go to waitwhatif.com, and all my links are there. And maybe you'll see the update of a very new and special program that's in development. It's my new thing. We'll let you know.
By the time this gets published, it's going to have been out for like 6 months.
Now, this one will come out soon. I don't know. I got a lot of... All right, take care. See ya.
Like us on facebook.com/WWI podcast and at WWI podcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitwhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Ah!
hope you enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.